home run from Suarez, but you got to hold on to your nachos if you're going for the ball. You got to hold on to your
nachos. A beautiful day at the park. You know I carry a bat to work. He was trying to show off for the young fella that he took to the game. Keep the nachos, keep the ball, take the hug. Start the show.
As always, he is Jalen Rose, and I am David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. Dog? What exactly is it that we do?
We give people what they want.
Friend of the show, CC Sabathia, joins us later. But we start with a big game last night between the Sixers and the Bucks, and it was Giannis Antetokounmpo who again showed out and showed us who he is. Jalen, he is having an MVP caliber season, but no one's talking about it. Why not?
I got to tell you a secret, Jacoby.
What's that?
When you look at Giannis' productivity this season versus the last 2 years where he actually won the MVP, they're comparable.
Mm-hmm.
And the assist numbers are actually up. The triple-double numbers are actually up. But here's what happens when you're the back-to-back MVP like Nash and Phoenix or LeBron and Cleveland and you don't make it to the NBA Finals. Now we're waiting for the playoffs. And when the Raptors and the Heat win the East, and we're still waiting for the Bucks and the Sixers to do so, Joel gets the regular season storyline in the MVP conversation with those numbers. For Giannis, people are like, wait a minute, we need to see it in the playoffs. But let me tell you something, Jacoby. I was watching the start of this game.
Me too.
And the Bucks, with Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton, they're starting to gain their momentum. And all of a sudden, I thought I was watching the Kansas City Chiefs. They were in fast forward. They were getting buckets after bucket, after steal, after three. And I know they were without Ben Simmons with the Sixers, but I'm like, wait a minute. The Bucks are going to be a problem. That's why I tell you, the Nets have the most talent, but I'm taking the field in the East.
Well, we will see about the health of the Nets, but one thing that's key to the Bucks' success is Drew Holiday. When he's playing well, he's been in and out of the lineup, and when he's gone, they need him. And when he's there, they need him to play well. But I think that will be the key to their success in the playoffs. We know we're going to get from Giannis. We know we're going to get from Middleton. If Drew Holiday can be the Drew Holiday that they traded for, this team is going to be very dangerous in the playoffs. And when you take a look at the Western Conference, there's another team that looks to be dangerous in the playoffs that added another piece, and that is the Los Angeles Lakers. They lost to the Mavs last night, but a gentleman by the name of Anthony Davis came back and played. Jalen, what do you think about the return of Anthony Davis?
It was just great to see him back out on the floor. I didn't have high expectations. They said he was going to play maximum 15 minutes, didn't have double-figure points. They didn't win the game. Kyle Kuzma didn't have double-figure points as well. So really, it was just about him being in uniform. The Lakers did a great job of really holding it down without he and LeBron in the lineup. They didn't drop so far in the Western Conference standing. So it's a breath of fresh air to have him back into the lineup. KCP did play well, but the Mavs, even though they lost KP under Luka, made sure they took care of business.
I'm glad you mentioned the Western Conference playoffs, because when you look at the standings, something just became very clear to me today. I just saw through it all. The only thing that's up for grabs is 2-3 right now. Everything else is pretty much locked in 1-6. When you talk about the six guaranteed playoff spot, everything's locked in except for the 2-3, and the Clippers are playing well. So I would say that 1-6 are going to stay that way when you look at the gaps between these teams. And it's going to be between the Suns and the Clippers of who gets the 2 seed moving forward as we get into the playoffs and the play-in game. One thing that did happen last night is Kristaps Porzingis got injured. Again, staying on the court has been a problem for him. When you talk about the Mavs and them getting a play-in game or a playoff run, how important is Kristaps' health to that?
Man, I hate to see it, because having Kristaps in the lineup gives Luka a legit running partner that could get them out of the first round. Watching him continue to deal with injury, they might be a team that struggles during the play-in. And if they are able to get in, definitely will be probably losing in the first round. And that's unfortunate because when you look at the competition in the Western Conference, Luka's been terrific, ascending into a superstar and an all-NBA performer. But when you look at those other teams, Dame has CJ. They hope to get some big minutes from Nurkic. Even Memphis, they got Jaren Jackson back. The Lakers have LeBron and AD. The Nuggets, Jokic is MVP. They added Gordon. So, like, those other teams have support staff that are all NBA All-Star caliber. the Mavs don't have that in particular without Kristaps Porzingis in the lineup.
They definitely need Kristaps Porzingis. And for them to be truly successful, for them to get the 7 seed or the 8 seed, they're going to need someone else besides Luka Doncic to get it done. We always say on this show, success is a function of realistic expectations. And the Mavs have performed below expectations up to this point. Now we turn our eyes to football. The NFL draft is upon us. The new season is going to be upon us after the summer. And there's going to be some changes in the NFL. One of those is the numbers on the jerseys. They sort of opened it up so you can have whatever number you want. And Tom Brady is upset about this. Tom Brady feels like that we're not going to be able to block the right people now. Jalen, why is Tom Brady mad about this of all things?
Jacoby, you remember when Last Dance came out? And yep. Michael Jordan made spitting on his pizza sexy, and everybody was like, well, just his killer instinct. And that's why he's the 6-time champion. And that's just why he refuses to lose. Now people are going to be like, Tom Brady, he's going to go against the league, and he's going to be so upset that they changed this rule. Oh, man, the game is in trouble. This just motivated Tom Brady. It just creates a storyline for my fellow Michigander. That's all. My fellow Michigan Wolverine. That's all.
This does feel like a story about nothing, and so does our next story, because Jerry Jones says that he has visions of sugar plums about pairing Kyle Pitts with Dak Prescott. Did anyone tell Jerry Jones that he picks 10th and Kyle Pitts is going to be picked way before that?
We got to get Kyle Pitts to come on the show and talk about that. Here's why. This is all cap. C-A-P. No accident that Michael Irvin's doing a multimedia tour today. It's no accident that Jerry Jones is talking today. It's just so we'll talk about their team. We don't force topics about the Cowboys. So other than this, we wouldn't be talking about them. Other shows chase these topics. So Jerry Jones, good job. You got us talking about a player that we know that you're not going to draft.
Well, all of us spend a lot of time on social media, and from time to time, it gets socially awkward. Kevin Durant is just, he's an open book on social media. He'll like things, he'll respond to things, but one of the tweets that he liked intimated that Steph Curry needed Kevin Durant to win a championship and then called him trash. Kevin Durant liked it. What does that mean to you, Mr. Rose?
It just means they're going to always respect each other as teammates and champions and what they accomplished together, but I wouldn't like a comment like this about you. So that means that they're going to be former teammates, but don't necessarily have to be cool, which is okay, which is just fine. What they accomplished can never be taken away from them. But I was surprised to see KD did like this tweet.
Kevin Durant has sneakily become the best follow on social media. We used to clown him so much for having a burner account and for being too sensitive and responding to everything. But now I love
you
it.
Love
now
Katie
I
so
love
much.
It so much. I want him to respond to everybody, to like every tweet. He knows we're going to talk about it. Like, we used to troll him, and now he's trolling us. Great job by Kevin Durant, completely flipping the narrative with his social media use. I appreciate it.
You're exactly right. Well said.
We have, joining us right after a short break, CC Sabathia, Yankee legend, great man, analyst, and thinker, joins us right after this. Stay tuned. You're watching J&J. Coming to you live from Pier 17 in the South Street Seaport, District of Manhattan, and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back
it's
to Jalen and Jacoby. Joining us on the program right now, friend
it's
of the show,
affair.
Yankee legend CC Sabathia. Thank you so much for taking the time.
No problem. What's going on, fellas?
I want to know what's going on with your New York Yankees, because so far they've been trash this season. What's going on in the Bronx?
It's early, man. It's cold, man. It's hard to play baseball in the cold weather. I think, you know, as the weather starts to heat up, the bats will start to heat up, and, you know, I think the guys will be fine. I think the key to the team is going to be the pitching and defense. You know, that seems to be what everybody's talking about. I think they'll get better with that. I still think they're the best team in the division. But it's early, so, you know, we'll just have to wait and see how it plays out. But they got a really good team. It's hard for me to think that they're going to play like this all year.
27 pennants. Story franchise. Jacoby always says you can be mean when you're funny. What do you think about Yankee fans throwing baseballs at their team earlier in the year?
Man, that was tough. That was hard to watch, even as like a, you know, an ex-Yankee still to be a part of the organization. I mean, that's tough. You know, obviously getting booed at home and them throwing baseballs out on the field, you know, you want that to be your safe place. If you're getting booed at home, you'd be getting doubly booed on the road. So, you know, you just got to play better and they'll stop it.
So, CeCe, I am what's called a Die Easy fan. I jump on bandwagons whenever I feel like it. And something tells me that you did the same thing because I've been paying attention and you are now a Nets fan. How did you become a Nets fan?
You know what? Because I just jump on bandwagons. I'm such a huge Raiders fan. I'm such a huge Raiders fan that I need something to root for. Like, my heart's broken most of the time by December. Most of the time by Thanksgiving, my heart's broken. So I need some good basketball to root for. So I always hop on the best basketball team. Right now it's the Nets, but the Knicks are looking good too. So I've been going to a lot of Knicks games too. You know, Uncle Wes is over there and Leon, so they're doing a good job with the Knicks. So it's just New York basketball right now I'm rooting for.
Absolutely, and there may be a chance that you get a Knicks-Nets second round NBA playoff series. What would that mean for the city of New York?
You know what? That'd be crazy just because we all know that this is a basketball town. I mean, you know, the city is you know, Yankees and Mets right now. But I think, you know, if when the basketball comes back, it's going to be Nets and Knicks. I mean, obviously, you know, this is the basketball mecca. So to have both of their teams in the playoffs facing off against each other, I think it'll just make for the buzz in the city that hasn't been here since I've been here, you know, hasn't been around since I've been here in 12 years.
Well, there's two good basketball teams in New York City, but there's also two terrible football teams in New York City, and one of those are the New York Jets. It looks like they're going to draft Zach Wilson. So yourself, you saw success here. You dealt with the media here. What advice would you have for Zach Wilson if he were to be drafted by the Jets?
I think just to come in and be yourself. You know, it's tough trying to come in and, you know, deal with the media and try to play well at the same time. But if you just come in and be yourself, play hard, and don't make excuses, these fans in this town will love you.
You've seen some of the all-time greats, not only because you're one, but you've pitched against some of the all-time greats. Barry Bonds, you've seen Derek Jeter, but you've said Shohei Ohtani is the most dynamic baseball player that you've ever seen. Is that true?
Ever. Like, you just named those two guys that first ballot Hall of Famers, right? But neither one of them can win a Cy Young. Like, this guy can do what they can do, and he can go out and win a Cy Young. Like, he's got the hardest hit home run this year, and he's throwing the fastest pitch off the mound. Like, people get upset when I say that and start naming all these other players, and yeah, I know Mike Trout's on his team, but, like, nobody can do what this kid can do. It's really unbelievable. I've never seen anybody that can dominate. We watch people that can play like this in Little League. Like, you can name a dude that's in Little League that was this good, right? We all know that guy, but for him to do it in the big leagues, it's amazing, man. It's just fun to watch.
That's a great point. And CeCe, you know, you are a legendary pitcher in the MLB, and you are now part of sports media and media in general, but you're getting into the fashion game. Tell us about your foray into fashion.
Yeah, it's been fun. Getting a chance to partner up with Roots of Fight. I had my line come out with them, on 420 a couple days ago. We did the Black Aces sweatsuit. We did a New York t-shirt. And then we paid homage to my hometown, which is Vallejo, California. And the neighborhood I'm from is called The Crest. So I really wanted to pay homage to my neighborhood and where I came from. And Roots of Fight does a great job of telling those stories. So I was just excited that we were able to partner up and come out with some pretty cool pieces.
They do. I'm a huge fan of Roots of Fight. I've rocked their gear for years. How important was it for you to partner with a brand that was going to still be able to tell the story of things that you want to get out there to the public?
Yeah, that was super important. Just being able to go back and tell, like, my lineage, you know, the history of, you know, where I came from. And, you know, obviously coming off the dock and then I got the book coming out, it just seemed perfect to be able to put this in right in between both of those projects that are coming out, you know, just to continue to tell my story. So, yeah, I was super excited. And like you said, I mean, they do such a great job of telling the stories. You know, we partnered with them last year and got the Negro League line started, and people really loved that, you know, and then Satchel Paige, and now they got Don Newcomb coming. So it's just been fun to be able to tell some of these cool stories with the really dope brand.
We had Action Bronson on the show last week, and he credited you with sort of some of his transformation, getting in the gym in New Jersey early in the morning, and you yourself have sort of transformed your body a little bit. So tell us about your weight loss and your body transformation.
Yeah, so there was something that me and Action started talking about a couple years ago. You know, when I got done playing, I wanted to, you know, change my body and put muscle on. You know, I lost a bunch of weight in 2013, and it didn't work. You know, I got down to 260, but I feel like I needed to put some muscle on. So this was always my plan. And, you know, people, you know, are always like, you know, it's great what you and Action are doing, but me and him are really just really good friends, man. And we really enjoy working out together. He's a great motivator. Like, I just left the gym working out with him right now. So, you know, we work out 3 days a week together. It's been a lot of fun to watch him. You know, he's down 170 pounds, man. So, like, he's just so inspirational. Every time he walks into the gym, he just gets you hyped and ready to work out.
How much confidence does that give people when they see you, whether it's on social media and in person, that motivates them to make sacrifices in their lives because they see you're doing it?
Yeah, I mean, that was both of our goals, you know? Obviously, you know, us being, you know, extra big, we just feel like if we can do it, anybody can do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we started from literally zero. You know, Action was almost 400 pounds. You know, I was 325. And, you know, now a year later, you know, we looking pretty good. So, and want to keep going. So it's been fun to do this transformation. And like you said, hopefully people can watch and see us do this and get motivated to make the transformation themselves.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us on the program. Thank you, CC.
Appreciate you, legend.
We'll be back with much more on Jalen Jacoby. Look at this lineup on ESPN and ESPN Plus this weekend. We got two huge basketball games, huge fight between Usman and Masvidal, and it all ends with a big baseball game between the Padres and Dodgers Sunday at 7 p.m. on ESPN and ESPN Plus. And thank you so much for watching us on television, but don't forget to subscribe and listen to the podcast. We have exclusive content with CC Sabathia, and he supports changing baseball to a seven-inning game. Make sure you listen to the Jalen and Jacoby podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, we cover a lot of ground here. Baseball, basketball, football, the fight game. But we have some very important news that matters. I have accepted the reality, the objective reality, that there are unidentified flying objects in the Earth's atmosphere, and I have more information to present to you. Commercial airline pilots in Canada have seen multiple unidentified flying objects during their flights just in the last few weeks. Jalen, are you finally ready to admit that aliens are in our atmosphere?
The plane. E.T. Phone home. Mork from Ork.
Oh, no.
Nanu.
Whenever you go to Mork from Ork, I know you're not taking this seriously. You will take it seriously when the aliens finally invade, and I hope they start with you.
You said, Jalen, that about the kangaroo apocalypse. I'm still waiting.
We have to move on to the Oscars. The Best Picture nominees have been announced, and I have a confession to make. I haven't seen a single one of these nominees. I haven't seen a single one of the Best Picture nominees this year in the Oscars. Have you?
This is easy. I didn't see the nominees, so therefore I don't even know if I've seen them, because a lot of these awards are culturally biased and based. That's another subject for another day. And if you have a background like this, you may never get an award. My Best Picture this year, Judas and the Black Messiah. Shout out to my guy, Al G. Smith.
You didn't see the Tom and Jerry movie. You didn't see Tom and Jerry. Tom and Jerry, if Tom and Jerry doesn't win Best Picture, I'm not watching another Oscar celebration for the rest of my life. Shout to Tom and Jerry, the second best duo on television behind Jalen and Jacoby.
There hasn't been a podcast that walk into an office and say they don't want it to be like this one. That's the award.
Jalen, as we end the show, one thing we have to do is recognize the life and celebrate two young men that passed away, Shock G of Digital Underground and, of course, Terrence Clark, former Kentucky Wildcat who was headed to the NBA draft, who passed away to a car accident in Los Angeles. Jalen, what do you have to say about these two young men's lives?
Sadly gone and not forgotten. Shock G for me was a hip-hop version of Prince. He was an artist. He played instruments. He was an entertainer. For years, people didn't know that Humpty Hump and Shock G were actually the same person. I got a chance to spend time around them. Shout to my brother Money B. Shout to Klee. They welcomed me and treated me like family. And so rest in peace, Shock G.
And also Terrence Clark, rest in peace. And everyone, be safe while you're on the streets driving your vehicles. We will be back
rest
on
in peace,
Monday.
Terrence Clark.
On ESPN,
family.
Like always, at 2 p.m. Have a safe weekend, and make sure you tune in to Jalen Jacoby Monday at 2 p.m. on ESPN.
Prayers to the families.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast-exclusive content with our guests. Joining us right now, we have CC Sabathia on the program. CC, you had a long, amazing baseball career on the mound. Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but they're talking about moving the mound back a bit. How do you feel about this?
You know what? If it's going to create more action, then I would be fine with it. But I would get rid of the shift first, you know.
Preach.
And put, you know, the guys all on the infield dirt. Put, you know, two infielders on each side of each side of second base. And just see how that worked for a couple years. And see if we can just get more action in the game. You know, moving the mound back would help. These guys are throwing harder than they ever have before. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's other things that you can do besides moving the mound back before we get to that extreme.
But see,
I'm not opposed to moving things around. Other leagues move things all the time, and it makes the game better. You know, we need to do some things to maybe speed the game. I'm not opposed to making game 7 innings. Game 2 hours.
Talk to me.
The game would be 2 hours long. You start at 7 o'clock game, it's over at 9 o'clock. You start at 1 o'clock game, it's over at 3 o'clock. It's just the baseball that we used to growing up watching, you know, is not there anymore. Just because, you know, guys throw so hard, there's so many, you know, three ball, two strike counts. The game just takes a long time. You cut it down to 7 innings, there you go. There's your 2 hour product right there.
I got kids. I can't take my kids to a baseball game. I can't go to the Bronx and see the Yankees because they're not going to sit there for 3.5 hours watching the Yankees lose 8-2. You know what I mean?
And guess what? We would have never been into baseball either if it was that long. You know what I'm saying? Like, we grew up watching the Braves and Smoltz and Maddox. Those games are hour 45 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Of course we loved it. But now, I don't blame them. My 10-year-old, I want him to like baseball, but I can't get on him if you don't want to sit there and watch a 4-hour Red Sox-Yankee game. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even want to watch that.
How about when you grew up as a fan of the game and then obviously start playing the game, the evolution of a pitcher has changed. The first thing I thought about when you said 7 innings was like, maybe a starting pitcher can actually do a complete game now? What do you think about the evolution of how pitching has changed?
I think that they're turning starters into basically long relievers, where guys can go, you know, 3-4 innings, and then you get into your super bullpen. You know, then you got another guy that can go 2-3 innings that can get you to the back end of your bullpen. So, you know, I think the way that that teams are constructing these bullpens is really hurting the starter. But if you look at the teams that are winning the World Series, to be honest, the last couple years, it's teams that have starters that can go deep into the game. If you look at the Nationals, you know, they had 3 starters that go deep into the game. You look at the Dodgers last year, they had 3 starters that can go deep into games. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, for all these changes and these openers and different things like that, it's not working. The teams that are winning the World Series and the teams that are there at the end every year are the teams that have traditional starters. So, you know, at some point it's going to go back to, you know, what it was when I first came up.
That's a really good point. Now, I'm not big into pocket watching, but I couldn't help but notice that you are the highest paid pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball. And Now we got mega deals for Tatis, Lindor,
Trout,
Mookie Betts.
You see that fish tank, Jacoby?
Hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. How do you feel about these huge contracts that are happening in Major League Baseball?
I love it. I absolutely love it. I mean, I want him to keep going. My son's coming, man. He's a junior, so I want to get him paid. I got to get him out of my pocket. I love it, man. I'm excited. I mean, you know, obviously, at the time when I, you know, signed my deal, it was scary, you know, and but you have to kind of carry that torch for this next generation that's coming behind you, all these different guys. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see, you know, where the game's going. Every team's making money, you know, top to bottom now. The game's growing. So, you know, I don't have a problem with guys getting paid. I'm excited to see, you know, Lindor get his $341 million up front. You know what I'm saying? Ooh. Like, that changes everything. Now that the guy in Queens can pay his guys up front, with the Yankees was the only team that was able to do that for a long time. Now we'll see how it shifts in this market. You know, with the Mets having basically all the money now.
So I got a question for you, Jalen. I'm sorry to interrupt. CeCe, you said when you signed your contract, it was scary. What do you mean by that?
I mean, like you said, just being the highest paid pitcher ever. Mm-hmm. You know, at the time coming to New York, you start to think about, you know, do you deserve it? Am I worth it? Like, I'm Carson Charles Sabathia from the Crest. Like, who am I to be commanding this big contract coming to New York? But I remember that offseason, the one thing, a huge piece of advice that I got was from Gary Sheffield. He was like, don't try to live up to that contract. Don't try to play to that contract. They owe you that money. You earn that money. Just go out and feel good about playing, putting those pinstripes on. And once he said that to me, it kind of took a weight off of me, and it just shifted my focus to like, well, yeah, I do deserve this. You know what I'm saying? I have worked hard. Exactly. So, yeah, it just kind of gave me a different mindset going into it.
I love Gary Sheffield. That's the OG right there. And playing a long time with the Yankees, I always wanted to ask this question because it's kind of one of the things in 2021 that's an undercurrent as we've had a social and a racial reckoning. The Yankees are still a team that don't allow their players to have the names on the back of their jerseys or hair on their face. What did you think about that before you played there, once you played there, and what do you think about that now?
I never really thought about it, to be honest. I just, you know, it was just a part of the culture and a part of, you know, the legacy and the history here. The no names on the back of the jerseys, I don't have a problem with. You know, because, you know, once you put on the pinstripes, it's just, you all a part of the pinstripes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, so I understand that. The only part I didn't like not shaving my face every couple of days. Like, I just felt like, man, like, let me grow out a beard. You know what I'm saying? but to be honest, around the community, in the community, and you know, around the Bronx, the Yankees do a lot of things in the community, man. And mm-hmm. you know, going into all of the things that happened in 2020, you know, being sitting on the DEI committee with the Yankees and learning all the different things that they do out in the community, and, you know, having suggestions and be like, oh, well, we already have this program. Well, we already have that program. Like, they do a lot in the community. So, you know, I'm proud to be a Yankee, and I'm proud that I played so long in that organization. I'm proud to be a part of that family. I'm proud that, you know, they consider me family. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm proud to be a Yankee. I'm proud of that legacy and that history, I guess.
You know, the pandemic has changed a lot in our lives. One thing that is taken from us is the CeCe Sabathia celebrity softball game, dog. We coming back. When are we coming back?
Nah, it's coming back.
When we got? What do we got? What's the plans?
2022 is coming back. It's coming back.
Okay.
So hey, here's the thing.
Is Jalen getting an invite? Does Jalen get an invite?
Yes, of course. Of course. He was supposed to come to 2 years ago.
At what date is it? I'm writing this down right now.
It's probably going to be June 2022.
Okay. June 22nd. And so, you know, I remember last year it was like on a Saturday, right? Or a Sunday.
It was on a Sunday.
Well,
and if there are any practice sessions between now and then, please invite me. I love to play softball.
I'm on a team in Central Park. I play every Tuesday in Central Park.
Oh, boom! Yo!
Every Tuesday.
I'm gonna hit you up.
Yeah, hit me up.
Well, before you invite Jalen, CeCe, I know that you have celebrated your sobriety, but Jalen Rose on the softball field will not be sober. He will not be sober.
All facts. But I'm like Rod Caruto. You know what I'm saying? I'm a slide hitter like Tony Gwynn. I used to want to be Barry Bonds or Ken Griffey Jr., but I realized I didn't have the power.
How come you can't name, can you name, Jalen, can you name a white baseball player, dog? Can you name a single white baseball player?
Pete Rose. There you go. But you know what's crazy is that was the game we grew up watching. You know what I'm saying? Like it was, we can have people out there that we can relate to. It's different now. But you know, only being 4% of, you know, black players in the game. But we grew up in the 80s and 90s where it was a lot of different guys that you could relate to, whether it was Otis Nixon or Willie Randolph or Dave Parker, whoever it was. Like, it was guys that you could see yourself being out there. And I hope the game gets back to that.
But also, that's when I was young. We playing wiffle ball. I was playing fast pitch tennis ball. I was playing softball. And I remember the Pittsburgh Pirates, the We Are Family. And they had the classic hat. That's when I fell in love with the game. So how can we get more black Americans in to playing baseball?
You know what? I thought the sport was dead in the community, but it's not. We just need to get them better opportunities. So the thing about baseball is it's hard to get into college, you know, playing baseball because you don't get a full scholarship. So a kid like us, you play multiple sports, right? If you was a baseball player right now and you had a basketball scholarship to go to Michigan, but you were a pretty good baseball player because Michigan got a good baseball program too, you would have to go play basketball because you can get a full scholarship.
Yep.
Our parents wouldn't have been able to afford to make up that money for you to play on the baseball team. So that's where we got to make up some of this money and some of these scholarships, maybe get kids in the JUCO, maybe different things where we can get them playing. But there's a lot of kids playing. I'm out on the circuit now with my 17-year-old, and there's some good black kids playing. I mean, there's some dope black kids playing. We just got to make sure that they continue to keep playing and elevate them and get them the opportunities.
That's dope.
Jalen, I'm just so upset that you didn't mention one of my favorite black baseball players, Sweet Lou Whitaker, man. Come on now.
No, in your own hometown.
I love Sweet Lou Whitaker.
Dog, not only is Sweet Lou the man at second base, how about Chet Lemon? He's the dive Chet at first Lemon. Base. I remember him. You know what I'm saying? That was my bless you boys, 1984 Tigers. Come on now.
CeCe, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time to join us on Jalen Jacoby. You, welcome to come back anytime. You know your family.
Of course, man. Anytime y'all want me back, I'd love to come on. Thank you, guys.
Want to thank CeCe Sabathia for coming out, joining us on Jalen and Jacoby. Had some really interesting things to say. And Jalen, we got this live show coming up the 27th.
Yeah,
if you go to bit.ly/JalenJacoby427, you can join us on the Zoom. Make sure you tune in. So, Mr. Rose, we always say we give the people what they want. And part of that is listening to the people. If you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave us a voicemail. Make sure you call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us voicemails for our live show. But right now, we want to hear from you. So if you call 985-80-JALEN, leave us a voicemail. We'll put it on the show just like this.
What's up, Jalen and Jacoby? What's up, Reg the Ledge? Hope this makes the show. This is a regional and cultural question that me and my wife been having for a while now. I've been trying to get her to call the show, but she's scared. So I'm going to call for her. Me and my wife are both African-American. She's born in the suburbs. I was born in the urban area. And she painted a picture of a guy holding a radio. And I called it Radio Raheem. And shockingly, she did not know who Radio Raheem was. Is that regional or cultural? Please hit this on the show because we've both been asking this question. Please hit me back. I mean, please let me know. Thanks.
Wow. I can't imagine a world in which I made a Radio Raheem reference and the person I was talking to did not know what I was talking about. So it's definitely not regional. It might be cultural. It might be generational. But I know who Radio Raheem is.
I got
love
you,
and
fam.
Hate, four finger rings. I know exactly who Radio Raheem is.
Do the right thing. Do the right. Who was that? What was the name of that group? Do the right thing. What was his name? Anyway, so here's what I want to say to the caller. Thank you for the call. Appreciate the love and the support. 985-80-JALEN if you want to join the show. You both are black. One's from the city, one's from the burbs. This is urban versus suburban. Classic.
Regional?
Regional. Definitely. Because when she was watching The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and The Cosby Show, he was watching Do the Right Thing. He was watching School Days. He was watching Spike Lee joints. Radio Raheem is a famous character from those movies because he embodied so much of what early hip hop meant to the heartbeat of the culture. And regardless of what was going on in his life or whatever imperfections, music became the soundtrack. Like, the way Spike Lee encompassed that was brilliant. Like, we joke about, like, the types of movies that I've seen. Like, these are the types of movies I've seen, like, 150,000 times. As a matter of fact, I remember watching Higher Learning and Fudge asked Omar Epps, say you in a stadium full of white people, the national anthem comes on, you feel oppressed in your country, and you don't want to stand. Everybody stands for the anthem, and you don't. They all look at you. What do you do? He said, I stand. And by the way, this is 22 years before Colin Kaepernick ever took a knee prior to a football game. And so I bring that period of time up because your answer is perfect. When you're talking to somebody, you hope that they get your references, but at the same time, opposites attract. So now she can teach you, you can teach her. So now you show her, you go back and check out the catalog and show her who Radio Raheem is. You show her how some of those characters that we always reference, like Birdie and Above the Rim, you show her who that is. You show her who Old Dog is. She might not even know who that is. You show her who Cube was in Boys in the Hood. Introduce her to those characters, and she'll do the same. Your thoughts, David?
Well put. And one of my stories about Radio Raheem is, you know, we're very conscious and politically correct here in 2021 and use the right words. And I remember being a young man, we had the cardboard out. We were trying to break dance and backspin and all that. And I told my mom, I said, Mom, I want a ghetto blaster. I was like, I want a ghetto blaster. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, a big radio. She's like, my mom was like, yeah, let's not call it that. She's like, let's not call it that. Remember, I'm in the middle of the woods. Like, I'm not in the hood. I'm in the woods. And my mom was like, we're not going to call it a ghetto blaster. I'll get you a radio, a boom box. We can call it a boom box, but let's not use the term ghetto blaster around the house. And I was like, you know what, Mom? I think you're right. I appreciate you.
No doubt.
We got time for one more quick voicemail. If you call 9580-JALEN. We'll put you on the show just like this.
What up, though? Jalen, it's Jacoby. This is Christian from Houston. Shout out Reg the Ledge, as always. Got to represent. Got a quick question for y'all. Taking the middle urinal in the men's bathroom when someone's already using the one on the left or right, is that considered a power move, boss move, soft move, whatever y'all want to call it? I'm curious to know. I have no shame in taking the middle stall. When I gotta go, I gotta go. But some of my friends, that's considered weird. Anyway, keep giving the people what they want. Low impact cardio, Jalen, get on it. It's good for you. Stay easy, y'all.
It sounds like my man was doing the low impact cardio when he called in the show, which is definitely a boss
that's
move.
Dope.
No,
that's
there's
dope.
No one. Jalen is the king of low impact cardio. Jalen's never gone over 4 miles an hour on a treadmill. I've worked out with him before. Jalen's like a 2.5 mile an hour treadmill
that's a
cat.
Consistency.
So he wants to know about the middle urinal. So if there's three urinals and someone's taking the left or the right one, I'm going to get as far enough away as possible to allow for your privacy and whatnot. However, I'm not shy about going to the bathroom. So if I'm in there, I'm in there to do my business. If I need to use the stall and blow things up and make noise, I'm just going to go do that because that's not my fault. Mr. Rose,
from the hood. From the hood. So you don't have really much space to like have privacy in your home when you're the youngest of four, especially when family and friends and cousins come over, when you have sleepovers, definitely when you spend a night at the neighbors, in particular for me, because until I was like third and fourth grade, I was still peeing in the bed. So it was like no privacy. So becoming an athlete, you're used to actually being in a shower with other people. You're actually used to going into the bathroom while other people are changing. It becomes a part of your nature. It becomes a part of your culture. And so if I got to go to the bathroom, if all three stalls are taken, if I really got to go, I might push somebody out of the way and take one. So I'll definitely take an empty one in the middle.
We appreciate your calls. Make sure that you call 9580-JALEN and leave us cultural, regional, or soft move or boss move questions for our live show on the 27th. Right now, call 9580-JALEN because we are preparing for this live show and we can't wait. We will be back on Monday. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
But one thing I discovered, the water in the middle urinal is a lot colder. We're not done. We're not done. We are not done. Give the people time. Give people what they want.